Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you expecting to hear from the Lord? Then you will. Especially if you've got the truth version with you. We sold 1,200 of these at camp, which was good, which shows, praise God, how it's making its mark. And tomorrow I'm actually beginning the audio version of it. It's all going to be recorded. So for the next 2 weeks I'm going to be doing that. So you might just pray for that, because we want the anointing on that and the voice to keep going for that. It's going to be a lot of reading. We're in John chapter 5. Verse 36. But I bear witness in much greater ways than John. This is Jesus speaking, of course. The work I am doing is what my Father is giving me to do, and I intend to finish his work. These things bear witness to the truth that the Father sent me. Even the Father himself, therefore, bears witness as to who I am. You have never heard him speak nor seen him, nor does his word have any place in your hearts. This is plain, because you do not believe in me, even though he sent me. You spend hour upon hour studying the scriptures that actually speak about me, yet you refuse to come and receive from me the life I came to give. Now, Jesus is addressing the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. They study and study and study the word, but they don't come to Jesus to receive the life of which the word speaks. Now, we don't want to be like the Pharisees. It's possible for us to read the word every day and yet not come to the Lord to receive that which the word is speaking about. Now, because it's family service time, you've got to have visual aid. This is a painting I did 2 or 3 years ago. You don't have to do that. I brought a big one so everybody would be able to see. There's many, many hours of work in that. It was done over a period of weeks, if not months, an hour here and an hour there and a few minutes, you know, whenever I had the opportunity. Painstaking work if you're going to do a picture like that. But that really is as nothing compared with that. That's the real thing. That's just a picture of the real thing. And these days, people don't smell flowers. They feel them to see if they're imitation or not. This one is real. And actually, I can smell it as well. It's beautiful. So, if we can have the real thing like that, why bother to spend hours and hours doing that? It would seem to be a waste of time. But the problem is this. This will become like that. I don't know if you can all see that from where you are. But it won't be long before this looks like that. Because although this is beautiful, looks lovely, smells beautiful, although it's the real thing, it will lose its life and vitality, its appearance, its smell. It's there for a period of time. So why produce a picture like this? Because you are portraying something that you want to keep. Something that may not be real, but every time you look at it, you see a picture of when those particular roses looked at their best. But it's still only a picture. Now you see, this speaks to us of what Jesus is saying to these Pharisees. The scriptures are like a picture. They speak of the life, but they're not the life. Why is this version having an effect like it is? Because of the anointing that is on the translation. Now, the anointing is God, right? It's not man, it's God. It's what he puts upon the lives of his people. It's what he does with anything that we do. So that means that when people read, something more than just reading words is happening. And that's why people say, you know, I don't want to put it down. I go on reading it. I read far more than I intended to read, and so on. Because what is happening is revelation is taking place. Revelation is coming out of the anointing that is there. And I believe that's why God led me to do this. And he said, you know, he didn't want yet another version done by scholars, which would be accurate, but not necessarily carrying that same anointing. Now, the anointing is on the word all the time. But you see, you put your Bible, whatever version it is, in the hands of a non-believer, and he will not get out of it what you do. Why? Because you're anointed. And you see, if people read something that is anointed and they're already anointing, the anointing within you takes hold of the anointing that is upon this, and what happens is revelation takes place. It's as if God speaks. It's as if the voice of God is there speaking directly and personally to you. And that is, of course, what we want. So we're actually receiving the words of life. Because the disciples said to Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. And Jesus said himself, my words are spirit and life. So these words speak of the life that God is wanting us to have. But we still have to come to him to receive that life. Now, you see, perhaps we could say, most of us who are here, well, I've already come, and I've already received that life. I have that life. And when you first receive that life, you were like that. Something blossomed in your life. New, fresh, beautiful. Before, you might not even have been sure that God existed, or that he cared about you, or that he wanted to give himself to you. Then all of a sudden, God becomes real. Jesus is alive. He has forgiven you. He's accepted you. He's loved you. And you begin that journey of discovering that you are made one with him, and the inheritance that you have is to be a co-heir of Christ. The only trouble is that which blossomed at the beginning could come become like that. Not that the life can die, but I don't know about you, I've met several Christians that at one time were like that, and they've now become like that. Don't you know any? Why is that? How can that be possible? Because you see, even though you've received the Lord, that which you have received must be kept alive and vital, full of power, full of Jesus. In other words, we have to go on receiving, which is why Paul says to the Ephesians, go on being filled with the Spirit. So every day we need to read the words of life, but every day we need to come to Him to receive the life of which the words speak. And not think, well, because I'm already anointed, because I have that life, I don't need to come. The reason why some Christians get all dried up, like prunes, spiritually speaking, is because they don't continue to obey Jesus. He said this, everyone who feels tired and oppressed, come to me, and I will give you rest. Be united with me and learn from me, for I have a humble and gentle heart. Then you will find peace for your souls. When you are united with me, I make light of your burdens. You see, why do some Christians get oppressed and feel defeated and as if circumstances have taken control of their lives? We know that our circumstances do not define us. We learned that at Faith Camp, didn't we? But unless we keep receiving, unless we keep coming and receiving the life of which the Word speaks, then we are trying to live today in what we received many yesterdays ago. It's as if to keep in full bloom spiritually, we've got to keep receiving from the Lord. Now, strange as it may seem to you, this is how Jesus lived when he was on the earth. Why was Jesus the great man of prayer that he was? Why did he go off, spend sometimes whole nights just in prayer with his Father? Why would he not allow anything to cut across his prayer life? You could say, but he was the Son of God. He was the Anointed One, which is what Christ or Messiah means. So he had the anointing, surely, to do everything that the Father had sent him to do. But Jesus realized that for that life to flow through him and into the lives of others who came to him looking for that life, he had to remain at one vitally with his Father. That's why he said, I've got no words of my own to speak. Only the words my Father gives me to speak. So he's got to stay in right relationship so he can be the channel or the voice of the Father. This is why Jesus said on a number of occasions, I can't do anything myself. I do only the things I see my Father doing. How did he see what his Father was doing? Because of that ongoing, vital relationship that he had with the Father. In other words, Jesus is saying that during the days of his humanity, he was totally dependent upon the Father to do whatever the Father wanted him to do. And what he was teaching the disciples was exactly the same thing. You see, Jesus didn't go around saying, I'm the Son of God, therefore I can do this, 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 and this. What he did was to live in this relationship of unity with the Father, so the Father would speak, the Father would act, the Father would work, the Father's plans and purposes would be fulfilled. Now, we can strut around and say, I'm a son of God, I have inheritance with Christ, I'm a person of faith, all things are mine. But you see, although those are true statements, there's a wrong attitude. Because we are to remain dependent upon Jesus as Jesus remained dependent upon the Father. So in order for his life to radiate through my life as a son of God, not just as a preacher, but as a son of God, then I've got to be in the right place with him so that his life will pour through me. If I'm going to speak his words, then I need to be in the right place with him so that he will speak through me. And the same is true for every one of us. That just as Jesus needed to remain in that relationship of unity with the Father, so we need to remain in that relationship of unity with Jesus. So that what is flowing into our lives is new and fresh every morning, every day. So we stay like that and don't become like that. You see, if it's eternal life we have, we can be in eternal bloom. Not like a rose that fades. Not looking back to the great days when God was doing so much in my life. It's got to be every day God is doing great things in my life. Every day I'm receiving from him. Why? Because he is the God of grace. Because he is always, every day, the God of grace. Therefore, it's always his will to give. So it's true that we never come to the end of his giving. We don't want to be living today on yesterday's anointing. We live in the good of all that we've received, but his mercies are new every day. His grace is new every day. His love is a reality every day. His Spirit is alive within us every day. So we can continue to receive and continue to be channels of his life and of his grace, of his power to others. Because actually, you see, what Jesus says to us about the Holy Spirit is this is the real test. Not so much what have you received, but what is flowing out to others. Amen. He talked about the rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being. So that's the real test. That's the real question mark. That if we are alive like this, then what are we to the world? The sweet perfume. This is a beautiful. The sweet perfume of Christ. Now, how is all this going to actually be affected? Because if I read, whether I get caught up and read several chapters or just a few verses, if I read and revelation is taking place, God is speaking to me, then I need to respond with faith. Now, if I respond with faith, I will not say, I believe that, that's wonderful. But what I have read, I will act upon. And you see, it's when I act upon the word, that the life of the word gets released in me, or you, or any other believer. Faith is always expressed in action. It's not a question of saying, whoa, that was good. I've got fresh revelation. Okay, what are you going to do with it? Because revelation is when God speaks. Now, does God speak to you just so that you can say, God spoke to me? I had a great time with the word this morning. God spoke to me. But why? Because God never does anything without purpose. So it's not just a question of, well, God spoke to me. Well, what did he say? Through his word. And what are you going to do then with what he said? You see, when I set out to begin this translation, I had to answer for myself some very searching questions. And one of these questions is, well, where is the life? Exactly, where is the life? Is the life in the words themselves? Or is the life in the words because the words are the truth? Now you might say, well, what's so significant about that? Well, if the life is just in the words themselves, then I would have to very accurately translate the words, which is what most of the common translations do. But if the life is in the truth, because Jesus is the truth, he is the word, he is the truth, then the life is in what the words mean. The life is in the fact that this is God speaking, and that what he intends is that people understand what he means when he speaks. Hello? Because only if we understand what he means will we do what he says. If we don't understand it, we can't do it. So you see, this is why, as I prayed about this, God spoke, I mean, he spoke over a long period of time, months, about why he was asking me to do this. But you see, he was saying, well, I want people to really get into the word so they understand what I'm saying. Then they can, by faith, put that word into practice. And if they put that word into practice, they will, in the words I'm using this morning, continue to blossom with my life. And they will be the sweet aroma of Christ, so that they will spread his fragrance everywhere in the world. So that, I believe, was the purpose of God. For us, it doesn't matter what version we read, so long as we're receiving revelation, responding by faith and putting it into practice. But if something like this translation gives us for more revelation or further revelation or fresh revelation, then it's something that is, if you like, a tool that God has placed in our hands so that the word can be expressed more and more fully through us. Not just enslaving legalistic obedience, but because those words are spirit and life. They're the words of eternal life. And one of the other things I had to face was, well, you know, people get their favorite verses and like to quote the favorite verses. do I keep those verses in the form that people love? And God said, no. Because the trouble with repeating favorite verses is like that, is you can repeat them without thinking what they mean. So you draw out what they mean. Like, you know, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. That's a traditional thing, but just makes you sense a little bit more what it means if you've got a different translation. You know, everyone who feels tired and oppressed, which is really what Jesus is saying. Come to me. If we feel tired and oppressed, we need to go to him. Because he is life. He is the way. He is the truth. So this is just a little encouragement to us this morning to be sure that we receive the life. I think there have been very, very few camps where we've had such wide acclaim, really, from people that came as to how God blessed them this year. Now, why does camp have that effect? Because people are apart from what they normally do for a week, but it's a week of receiving. It's a week of receiving. And people were receiving in the worship, they were receiving through the word, they were receiving through the ministry. And I believe this is why God said, don't have visiting speakers. Why? Because people will expect to receive through the visiting speakers. You know, God said to me, you will limit what I'm going to do at the camp if you bring other ministries in. Just get people looking to me so that in the word they can receive from me. In the worship they can receive from me, in the word they can receive from me, in the times of ministry by the Spirit they will receive from me directly. Not looking to man, not looking to another ministry, but directly from me. Why? Because, you see, that means that then people can go away and continue to receive directly what he is wanting to give.
Yes, amen.
And last of all, what flows out? Well, if we're feeding on the truth, what will flow out of our mouths will be the truth. In other words, faith. We will speak faith. Whatever the situation, we will speak faith. Why? Because the word is so alive within us. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus says, takes the word and declares it to us. So our mouths, to quote Proverbs, become a fountain of life. Amen. That what we're doing is spreading life, spreading hope, spreading love, spreading everything that is good and positive around us. It's not just a question of what we do, but of what we say. Because what we say and what we do has to correspond. If we say one thing and do another, people think we're hypocrites. If we do one thing and say another, then we're deceived. And we spread deception. So our words and our actions have got to line up together. We speak that which is the truth, and we walk in that which is the truth. And then, of course, we walk in liberty. We walk in freedom. We live as true disciples. So this is why it's so important for us to feed on the bread of life every day. The bread that came down from heaven. Eat it every day. Consume it, digest it, receive the revelation, act by faith upon it, so the revelation becomes life, not just for you, but for others.
Right.
So you see, just to refer to camp. People were receiving life through what was said. But what was said came out of weeks of intimacy with Jesus. All those weeks when I was in France every day, praying, looking forward to the camp, listening to what God was saying. Not getting messages, but just getting in the place where He would speak. But this is what all of us are to do, not just for a camp or for a particular occasion, but throughout our lives. Your intimacy with Jesus will affect the way you speak, the way you think, the way you act, what you can be to other people. How much of the sweet fragrance of Jesus can flow out of your life. New, precious, because what you're receiving is new. Sweet, because it's Jesus. Oh, Jesus knew how to get angry. Jesus knew how to reprimand even His closest disciples. But always to focus them back on the truth. Always to bring them back to His word, to what He said, so they could receive the life that is in His word. Amen? Let's all stand. We're going to receive. Let's just close our eyes and be still for a few moments. During these family services, we don't have extended times. So we just pray just for a few moments now. I want you to, first of all, thank God. Thank Him that He is the Word. That the Word was made flesh and came to live among us. That His words are spirit and life. They're the words of eternal life. They're the words of truth that sets people free. And thank Him that He has spoken His word personally to you. That the Holy Spirit who lives in you takes that word and makes it revelation to you. So thank the Lord for all the revelation that you have received from Him. That actually the Word of God becomes to you the voice of God as the Spirit takes that Word and speaks it to you. Now thank the Lord for the effect that that has had upon your life. Those times when you've heard the Lord specifically and He has done significant things in your life as a result. Now, why don't you tell the Lord that you want to go on receiving from Him through His Word and by His Spirit? That the Word is like a beautiful picture, but you want the life of which that Word speaks to be constantly pouring into your life and through your life and out of your life like rivers of living water. So thank the Lord that His purpose is for your mouth to be a fountain of life. Now, it can't be a fountain of life while you're judging, condemning, criticizing, being negative, unforgiving. Your mouth is a mouth of destruction while it's like that. But thank the Lord that He wants your mouth to be a fountain of life. That you're not just speaking His Word, but from your mouth comes the life of which that Word speaks. Because you act upon that Word with faith. So really thank the Lord now. Thank you, Lord. You've called me to be someone whose mouth will be a fountain of life to other people. And I thank you that this week I can speak life into many different situations. Now, thank the Lord that that is going to be the case because your mind is actually under the influence of the truth, of the Word of God, that you think the truth, so you speak the truth. So tell the Lord that you want Him to be not only the author, but the perfecter of your faith, so that you speak with faith, you act with faith throughout the day, every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Puratapara zatapakaya. And thank Him that as you act upon the Word, as you obey the Word, as you put into practice the revelation He gives you, that the life will flow through not only what you say, but through what you do. That the life will flow through your prayer. That the life will flow through your witness to others. That the life will flow if you pray for people to be healed or whatever it is you're doing. That even in your normal everyday activity, there will be another dimension to it because of the life of God that is being expressed in what you do. Come on, let's thank the Lord for this, that we're not... we're not speaking and acting in the natural, but in the supernatural, because the Word is supernatural and the life is supernatural and the Spirit is supernatural. That we're not limited by the natural. We're not limited by reason, because for the truth, everything is possible. The impossible becomes possible. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Lord, we don't want to be spending hours and hours just studying the Scriptures and read the Scripture, and all we end up with is a pretty picture and not the life itself. So we thank you that you've worked something in us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've been working on all those people that were at Faith Camp. And we just pray for them, Lord, that they will go on being renewed. They will go on being revived. They will go on smelling sweetly and radiating life, that they won't become, you know, dried up roses, so they need to come back next year and be made new all over again. But they will come back bigger in their spirits because of how you have been working through them throughout this year. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We bless your wonderful name. Basta caria situri santo bocarasito. Hallelujah. Now, just before we finish, is there any way in which you need to receive from the Lord now? Not just healing, it could be any way in which you need to receive. You don't go looking for feelings, emotions, a tickle down your spine, or an audible voice. You believe what God says in His Word. Anybody tired or oppressed? Well, Jesus says, come to me. And when you come to Him, you just give yourself to Him. Whatever situation, it may not be that you're tired or oppressed, it may be something else altogether. You see, when you come to Him, you don't bring the problem. You bring yourself. He didn't say, bring the problem to me. He said, no, you, come to me. And this is the problem for so many people. They just come with the problem. They lay the problem before the Lord instead of giving themselves to the Lord. You see, if we want to keep receiving afresh, then we need to keep giving afresh. Every day I say to the Lord something like, Lord, today I give myself afresh to you in spirit, soul, and body, so that in every way in my life today you can be glorified. So just give yourself afresh to Him now. And if there's that particular need, you come to Him. Not just the need come to Him, you come to Him. Yeah, you come with the need, but it's you. Lord, I give myself to you in this situation, and I ask you to give yourself afresh to me so that I will know what to say, what to do. I will know your life flowing into me and through me and out of me, that whatever you do to me will become a blessing to others as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and receive it from the Lord. Hallelujah. See, there's just a wonderful sense of His presence here now. He's always with us, but you know, sometimes we just sense His presence. When we sense His presence, it's so much easier to know that we have received. We have to believe it anyway, whether we sense His presence or not. But right now, I believe several people know that they're receiving something fresh from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. And to you, Lord, belongs all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.